Good to be here on this very cold day. My name's Dr. Garrett Higbee, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Look forward to talking a little bit about something very near and dear to my heart, and that is trying to understand how labeling and diagnoses have both helped us at some level in description, but also really hurt us, particularly in the Christian area, because I believe labeling Christians, and this is going to be an important concept to grab a hold of, and then we're going to pray here, but I believe labeling Christians with a psychiatric diagnosis is a case of mistaken identity. Okay? We'll talk, we're going to unpack that statement here for the next hour. Let's pray. Father God, we just come this morning anticipating again that you would speak directly to our hearts, specifically and precisely to where we need to learn to grow and change ourselves before we worry about being better counselors or whatever else we might have as goals here today, that you would just pierce our hearts and enliven us and just bring us to a place, Lord, where we see things from your worldview, from your perspective. Help us not to be needlessly polemic, but winsomely apologetic in our approach, and help us to learn, stay awake and aware as you speak through your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so I'm going to attempt, first of all, let me just say real quickly, I'm the executive director of an intensive retreat center where we kind of hospitalize people for Jesus Christ for up to 5 days. Okay, families, couples, individuals, youth, we really don't specialize because we think God can handle it all. We have a great staff, Rob Besosa, Scott O'Malley, and Rhonda Garrison are on staff with me. You'll see Scott and Rhonda at the table. Hope you stop by and learn more about what we're doing. But I want to take this time to build a simple heart diagnosing model for you. Okay, I want to challenge the DSM or the Diagnostic Statistical Manual that psychiatry uses, and I want to give you a superior diagnostic and prescriptive way to deal with hearts. To do that, we have to develop a lens in our counseling and our interaction with people where we see through the outer man and into the inner man. Well, how do we do that? Because we don't obviously get to see the heart. We're fruit inspectors, right? Not heart inspectors. But we can draw out the heart. And I'm going to talk quite a bit about what that looks like and how you might be able to take a model of heart change and see things a little differently than the secular world, at this point at least, calls different disorders. We have an article, just so you may get a little more thoroughly into this topic, you might want to look at an article on our website, 12stones.org, that really goes into detail about this talk today. So, what are the goals of secular counseling? Again, as we approach the secular counselor or some of our integrationist friends who are really, their epistemology, their anthropology is still kind of grounded in a secular model, I think what we need to do is kind of take a look at how could we be intelligently and carefully speaking to them about where they're off and where we think Scripture speaks to issues of the heart. 1 Peter 3:15 might be a guide for you to speak respectfully and gently. Respectfully and gently. Kind of memorize those two words, particularly in terms of the approach you would have towards anybody when you're kind of describing your own faith and your own hope and maybe challenging somebody else's worldview. So they're about reducing symptoms, the secular therapist. Seems merciful at first, at least. But our goal is a little different. We have a very different worldview, a contrasting set of goals. They're about relieving suffering, normalizing behavior, and increasing self-esteem. Those are very common goals. They were goals for me because I was a psychologist doing secular counseling for over 10 years before God got a hold of my heart and did a transforming work in me. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This is not it. This is only like rearranging flesh. And God wants me to take His word and let Him pierce through with the Holy Spirit and change hearts. Wow, that was revolutionary. So thank God for that. About 14 years ago, that there was a radical change in my heart, because I couldn't do this if God hadn't done it with me first, right? Well, think about it again. Epistemology. Where do they see truth coming from? Here's one. I'm going to be very general because we don't have that much time. But if you think about the integrationists particularly, and even the secularists, they tend to think that observation and natural revelation is at least equal, if not superior, to special revelation. Okay? That's a problem. They're saying that science equals the Bible in terms of informing us. If not, the Bible is irrelevant completely. Science informs our decisions. They're anthropology. So who is man? What is his problems? What are the solutions? They don't see sin as the problem, right? They see a lot of other things. And by the way, psychology is not one thing. It's about 400 things, so it's kind of hard to nail it down. And then their etiology, this is something I don't hear a lot about in these conferences, but etiology is the cause or causal determinative kinds of things, the where does it come from kind of question. What causes pathology? Well, I think we know, but they would say it's something else in many cases. Now, I'm not talking about physiological issues here. I'm talking about mental illness for the most part. And then finally, what's their hermeneutic? How do they interpret what happens and what's going on in their environment? For instance, the secular counselor would generally say suffering is bad. Right? You go, okay. We would generally say suffering often has a purpose. Right? And matter of fact, we can even embrace suffering with joy according to Scripture. Interesting challenge there, or difference. Power of psychology. Psychology is rampant in our society. People are lost and words are powerful. It's not going away soon. You know, there are some trends and some things in psychology that come and go, but the field of psychology's been around for quite a while. And it's picking up steam, it seems. It's not easily confronted because there really isn't one theory or one way. Matter of fact, it's really not even a science. It's highly influential. There is huge political and cultural ramifications with psychology. There is a tremendous amount of energy to keep drugs on the market. It's financial. Motives for psychology and psychiatry to stay alive and well are phenomenally strong. So those are things you need to understand. There are things going on beyond us here, guys, principalities and philosophies that we need to understand are part of the battleground. And then it's really, in many ways, widely accepted and now kind of normal to receive this kind of help, because it brings a promise with it of relief and normalizing behavior, though we know better in the end. So here's my problem with that, just a quick commentary. It is more of a philosophy or religion than it is a science, and I'd say it's trespassing on our turf. Galatians 1:6, I think, would agree that this is a different gospel. So let's talk about the DSM. You guys are familiar with the DSM-4 TR or whatever the newest version soon going to